Amen. Amen. To Lord, give his ears to hear, like the brother shared tonight, give his ears to hear. Amen. But also give us a cry from our hearts for revival. Amen. Give us a cry from our hearts for revival. Continuous revival, the normal Christian life, continually being revived. I don't know about you, but I know I can't make it very long if I'm away from Christ. My fire goes down really, really fast. And I know that's true for everyone here tonight. So our prayer and our cry should be, Lord, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light. Imagine if we wouldn't have the spirit of light that illuminates and revives us. Life would be pretty dark, I'm sure. Life would be very dark without that Spirit of light. Well, I greet you in Jesus' name this evening. It's a blessing again to be in the house of the Lord and to set our minds upon the Lord tonight and seek his face and seek his favor. And this is one way we do it, to come together, to put other things aside, meet in the house of the Lord and hope and pray that God would speak to me. Amen. Hope and pray that God would speak to you. You know, if that isn't true, we leave these doors and all we did was heard with our ears and not with our heart. I'm afraid we got a little harder. Because I'm not going to tell you anything new tonight. But I trust and I believe I am going to tell you the mind and will of God. And that should cause us to tremble. I'm going to try and not say my own words, but I'm going to try by the grace of God to say God's words. And my heart tonight is set on revival, preaching a message on revival. And if you're here tonight and your heart is saying, well, I don't know that I need revival. But I hope you're here tonight and your heart is saying, oh Lord, revive me again. Revive me again. I hope that's your heart tonight. I want to say that's my heart. Lord, revive me again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus, who died and is now gone above. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Did you think back lately about that night when the Lord scattered your night and you just allowed yourself to think about that and to renew and revive the realities of the change that the Lord brought into your life? And the joy that was there, and the fervor that was there, and the zeal that was there. Remember that? You need revival. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. You need revival. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who hath bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Oh, if we ponder that, if we meditate that, if we behold that beauty, that truth, it should continually change us and motivate us and renew us as we day by day remember. I think Peter said that, maybe it was Paul told Timothy, that you'll be a good minister if you bring to remembrance these things. So if all I do tonight is bring you to a place where you and I remember our first love. You remember your first love? Oh, the blessing of sins forgiven. The joy of sins forgiven. Some of us had a hard time believing it. I'm sure all of us had a hard time describing it. Whatever in the world happened to us. All I knew for myself was before this, I didn't really care so much about church. I was okay when it was over. You know, I had enough of heaven to make me too good for hell, but not enough of heaven to get me into heaven. And that was my state. But when the Lord came into my heart when I was 18 years old, a friend of mine helped me get down on my knees and repent of my sins and confess Jesus Christ. And something changed. All of a sudden, I didn't know what happened, but I couldn't get enough of this man called Jesus. And I couldn't stop talking about him. And all of a sudden, old songs and the Bible took on brand new meaning. Do I need revival tonight? Yes, I do. I do. I have lost some of that first love. And I'm sure if we're honest tonight before a holy God, there's not many here tonight that can't say, I don't need revival. So let's pray. Let's pray. Oh God in heaven, have mercy on us this evening. Have mercy on us, O God, and show us our great Savior, and show us the Spirit of Light, Lord, and show us the great distance that you came, and show us the deep pit that you pulled us out from, Lord, and show us the awfulness of our sin, God, and God, how much you did for us, O God. And Lord, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May every soul here tonight be rekindled with the fire from above. O God, would you do that tonight for every Bible school student, for every father and mother and every soul in this room, Lord, as we sit here as your people, God, please do not pass us by. Do not pass us by, Lord. Lord, my prayer is that this is more than just a social gathering tonight, Lord. This is more than just the right thing to do on the evening of a youth Bible school. But Lord, this is a place, an opportunity where we press into you, dear God. And we open our hearts to you, and we open our ears to you, and we open the cry of our heart and say, oh God, meet my need. As we sit in the presence of an all-seeing, almighty, eternal God tonight, Lord. Meet our needs, God. Revive us again. Stoke the fires of our first love, Lord. Lord, deliver us from being lukewarm or cold. Oh God, but make us hot for you, Lord. Do we need revival, God? You show us tonight whether we need revival or not, Lord. And I pray, Lord, just help me to say what you want me to say. And it's in Jesus' precious name, O God, that I pray. Amen. We want to end up or go to Ezekiel 37 in a bit, and we're going to look at the Valley of Dry Bones there. You know that story there. It's a graphic picture, but it's also a beautiful story that God gave us for our admonition and our challenge, I believe. But before we do that, I'd like to preface the message tonight with some thoughts from our dear brother David. David, the man after God's own heart. David, as I believe Brother Danny used to put it, the Old Testament, New Testament Christian or something like that. David that walked in the grace of God. David that knew the sure mercies of God. He knew God. And so I want to preface the message this evening, or maybe use his scripture as a springboard. Draw some thoughts from David, and you can turn in your Bibles to Psalms 85 for that tonight. It appears that this David prayed this prayer sometime after their return from Babylon, as he recounted the favors and the mercies of God. Let's read in Psalms 85, verse 1. And just listen to these words as they come from a man that knew God, that walked with God, that was close to the heart of God. Lord, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Stop and think about that. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. He's praying this prayer. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thy anger. And then he turns his focus from God to themselves, to the children of Israel. Turn us, O God, of our salvation. Turn us. Yes, we need to be turned tonight. That's repentance, amen. Turn us, O God, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry for us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. And I think we'll stop reading there, but I just want to go back and, as David was now, as they were back now in Jerusalem in their beloved land, and David was recounting God's mercies and God's favor to them. And his cry was, God, thou hast been favorable toward us and has brought us back out of captivity. And that is many of our testimony tonight. Many of us were caught in the grips of sin. We were captive to sin. Amen? Many of us were there, right there. And many of us know the forgiveness of sins. Like he says in verse 2, you have forgiven the iniquity of thy people and you have covered their sin. And for us, he has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. And yet David sends us this flesh, this need for God to still do more. David was saying, oh God, we need more than your favor upon the land. We need more than a nice Jerusalem, if you will. We need more today for us than beautiful homes and prosperous businesses. We say these are the favors and blessings of God, and they are. They in fact are. But dearly beloved, we need more than that. That is the blessing of God, and we need to thank Him for that. But David saw something here. David knew something deep in the heart of God. David knew a secret that we want to look, that we want to get here. And he says, turn us, O God. Do something in our hearts, O God, deeper and more than just blessing us with external favors. Turn us, O God, of our salvation. O God of our salvation. And he says, revive us again in verse 6. That we may rejoice alone in thee. Dearly beloved, our all in all needs to be Jesus. It needs to be Jesus. We need to take all the favors and blessings that God has bestowed upon us, our beautiful homes, our businesses, all these external blessings, even a beautiful church, if you will, that's got a lot going for it. But we need even more than that. We need to find in God alone our rejoicing. And yes, some of that flows through the church. And even when we look at these other favors, homes and businesses and health and all that, even that, we need to funnel the praise and the thanksgiving back to God continually, amen? And not get our eyes stuck and set on things. And so what I'm doing here in the preface of this message is lifting up the need, lifting up the need that Jesus is number one in my life, number one. And that from time to time I go through this mental exercise where I simply say, okay, God, if I lose this and have you, I'm still okay. If I lose this, but I still have you, I'm still okay. I still have what I need to rejoice. What do you rejoice about tonight? What gets you going? What gets you and me excited? I mean, they were away from their homeland for 70 years, and now God brought them back, and David was concerned that they don't get their eyes off of God and onto things and onto the blessings of being in their homeland again. God, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Dearly beloved, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our what? It's our strength. Do you need strength tonight? Maybe you're not rejoicing. Maybe you're not making your salvation big enough. Maybe you're not going through that mental and heart exercise and making your salvation big. Think about it tonight, what God did for you and me when He saved us. Hallelujah! He gave to us eternal life. But you know what? That thing can lose its luster. That thing can lose its glamour. It can. It happens. it gets clouded with other things, and we lose our first love. And David was concerned about that. Oh, Lord, show us your mercy and grant us thy salvation. So with that, talking about revival, O God, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You don't find the word revive and revival in the New Testament. You find it only twice as revived. And one time it's Paul's testimony. He says when he was there in Romans, it says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." Yes, he was okay just going his own way till that law stood in front of him. And all of a sudden, he saw how bad he was, and sin came alive and made him to be a very bad man because he was. Sin revived, and I died. That's the one time you find it in the New Testament, and the other time is in Romans 14:9. "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived," came back to life, "that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." But the concept of revival, the concept of new life, is all through the Bible, through the New Testament. And let me just give you a few. Isaiah, he prophesied of when Christ would come, and he said this prophecy, and that is in fact how Christ found it. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness gloom the people." Life without Christ is a gloomy life. Amen? Very gloomy, hopeless, dark. "But the Lord shall arise upon them, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Isaiah prophesied, for when Christ will come, that's what's going to happen. The people are sitting in gross darkness. They sat there for 400 years. There was not a speaking prophet that heard from the Lord and gave them, "Thus saith the Lord," for 400 years. And it was dark and it was gloomy, and they may be going through the motions and doing their thing, but it was a very gloomy time. And Christ came. Christ came, and his glory was seen upon them. That was revival that I'm talking about. Of Jesus, John said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." That life that was in Christ illuminated, brightened the world when he came. That, in fact, and indeed, was revival. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened," reanimated, made alive again. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And dearly beloved, don't you believe that's how Christ wants us to walk to the end of the journey? Quickened, alive in him. Amen. I think that's how he wants us to walk. Excited about the life of Christ. Fresh and new and pressing in. "And you hath he quickened," reanimated. Someone who was pretty gloomy one day was walking along and professed to be a Christian, and someone said, "Well, you should notify your face." Amen. You should notify your face. Brothers and sisters, it's a shame to the power of the gospel if it doesn't transform and show up on our face. It's a shame to the power of the gospel and the name of God if people can't tell that I have been with Jesus. They knew in the Bible, that man has been with Jesus. They knew those unlearned men had been with Jesus. Do your neighbors know? Do my neighbors know? Do we need revival? Jesus said in John 5:25, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, I just kind of keep my Christian life inside. Oh, yeah? I don't think so. Well, turn with me to Ezekiel 37. Again, Israel was in a very low state, and God came on the scene. Like I said last night, God is a seeking God and a searching God and a speaking God. God is very alive and active, and here he shows up on the scene again to prophet Ezekiel. And you know what comes just before Ezekiel 37. It's Ezekiel 36. And this God is all about his people having a soft heart and a true heart and a heart of flesh and a heart that he can talk to and touch and shape and mold. That's what's on God's heart. I don't think that has changed tonight. Do we have that kind of heart that we see in Ezekiel 36 there? That God wants to come and give us a heart of flesh. A heart that he can shape and mold and transform into the image of his Son. And in chapter 37, he comes to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel says these words, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came up, came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. We'll stop there. What an account, what a graphic account of the house of Israel, of the people of God. I can think of three reasons that God gave this vision to Ezekiel. One of the reasons was, the first reason perhaps, was to show Ezekiel the condition of God's people. The condition of God's people. The second reason perhaps was to show that he, God, knows the condition of his people. He knows the condition of his people. And Ezekiel needed to see that. And the church needed to see that. And we need to see that, that God knows the condition of his people. We know what he did there in Revelation among the churches. And the third reason that I believe God gave this vision is to show his power. To show his power to revive. Praise God. God can revive. Amen. God can revive something that is very dead. Very dry. Very lifeless. Very stale. God is able. God is able. God is willing. God is desirous. God is jealous that his people are alive and well for his great name's sake, not for us, but for his name's sake. For his name's sake, dearly beloved, God is concerned that we are alive and well and fervent and hot for his name's sake. For his holy name's sake. And he went to this extent to give Ezekiel such a vision. I see six parts in this scene here. We have God. God comes on the scene. The hand of the Lord was upon me. God was there. We have a man. We have Ezekiel that heard from God. God used a man. God opened a man's eyes. So we have God and we have a man. The third part, we have the Word. God said to Ezekiel, prophesy. 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 Number four, we have the Spirit. We have the wind that comes at God's call. The wind, the Spirit comes. We have a need. The valley is big. The bones are many. They are very dry. We have a need. And lastly, we have revival. Hallelujah. Amen. We have revival. Praise God. A very graphic picture, but also a very beautiful picture of the power of God. Dearly beloved, has anything changed tonight in the big picture? Anything changed with God? Tell me. No. No. Nothing has changed with God. Does God still use a man? Yes. It's through the foolishness of preaching that God revives people. Just by man's words? No. It's through the foolishness of preaching the inspired Word of God. Amen? This Word is life. And so that's still true tonight. And we have the promised Holy Spirit. I trust hovering over us this evening in this meeting here in Holmes County, Ohio, on this day, on this evening at 8:15. God is attempting his word. And he's hovering this place. And he knows us. He knows our condition. The God of heaven Hallelujah, the same God that spoke to Ezekiel is speaking tonight. The same Spirit that came into those bodies is able tonight. Are we listening? Do we have ears to hear? Many missed it when Jesus was here. He was the Son of God. He was God come in the flesh. And many missed Him. A few pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of His garment and had revival. Amen. There was virtue that flowed from Christ when that woman got a hold of His garment and she was changed. She was revived. Oh, dearly beloved, where are we at tonight? We have a beautiful land. We live in America. We got beautiful climate-controlled worship houses. We have money. We have so many things. Thank you, God, for your favor, but do we have Christ? Are we rejoicing in Christ? Am I rejoicing in Christ, the Son of the living God? Is He my all in all? Can I say with Paul, I have counted all things but loss, but dung for Him? Oh God, help us tonight. Help me tonight. Oh God, help me tonight. The lusts of other things will choke out the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus into our lives. I don't know when Ezekiel realized that what he is seeing is a description of his people. God didn't tell him till the very end. Now just look at this account with me. This was not a quick glance from a distance, from the top of the hill with the binoculars, like, oh, way down there, I see something that looks like a battlefield. Lots of bones. Oh, my. No. Ezekiel walked in the midst of them. There's a knee bone. There's an ankle bone. There's a skull. There's an elbow. There's a hip. He walked right in the midst of them. He was in it. It was not a nice picture. It says here that the Spirit of God caused him to pass by them round about. See how dead they are. See how disjointed they are. Did you get that? See how disjointed they are. See how independent they are. Individualistic. Away out of the body. See how disjointed they are, Ezekiel. The skull, the elbow to that skull, they're way over here. They need to come together. Very disjointed. It was not just a few. The valley was full. It was not just a quick glance from the hill, but a passing through and round about. There were very many, and they were very dry. You know how very dry bones look? You know, if they're broken, you can see in there where the marrow is, and it's nothing but holes and like a sponge, you know? That's how they look. They were so dry. Dearly beloved, are you here tonight, and is God allowing you to see the need of His people? God caused Ezekiel to see with his eyes. Ezekiel saw. Are you here tonight, and is God giving you a burden? Are you among those? Are you standing with Ezekiel? Or are you in the valley? Do you have a burden? Do you see? Like what Ezekiel saw. Ezekiel was faced with the question, can these bones live? That was an awesome question. Looking at these dry bones, that was an awesome question. Can these bones live? What else did Ezekiel do? Ezekiel not only saw, he not only faced a very hard question, but he spoke the word. And he saw the power of God. He saw the power of God. So the question that we're faced with this evening is, do I see the need? Do you see the need? As you view the landscape or of the church, of the Christian, and compare it to the Word of God and the promises of God, do you see the need? Do you feel the need? Do you feel the burden? As you view the landscape of the church, or has God called you to stand in the midst of His people, and do you feel the need? Are you burdened with the lack of spiritual luster enough in your church that God has come upon you and you're willing to get up at 4 o'clock Sunday morning and pray that God would make your minister a minister of flaming fire? Or are you one that complains about the stale bread or the reheated message? Are you burdened enough tonight for the lack of power in your life, in your church, in the Christian testimony in general? Does it look a little bit like what Ezekiel saw? Are you concerned about the lack of answered prayer? Are you concerned? Do you see the need of prophetic preaching? Men that get under the Spirit of God and they speak the mind and will of God, like Ezekiel did there. Are you concerned and burdened tonight for the lack of influence upon the people of God? Oh, dearly beloved, we just need to come to think about the book of Acts and the dread that was upon the places where God was moving. People durst not to join that church, amen? If they played games with God, you know what happened? Some of them were struck dead. You didn't mess with those that place over there unless you were serious. Am I burdened tonight for family, for marriages? God's people should have happy, fulfilling marriages. Am I burdened about that when I see the word, when I see in Ephesians 5 the prescribed picture of a marriage, how men should love their wives as Christ loved the church? Do we need revival? Am I burdened about that? My children, young people tonight here, Bible school students, are you burdened about your attitude or about the attitude of some people toward their parents, toward authority? Are you concerned about that? Or are you just going with the flow? Where do you stand? With Ezekiel or with the bones in the valley? Where are you at? Am I burdened about relationships? We know the scriptures that talk about not letting the sun go down upon your wrath. Am I burdened about that tonight? That is the prescribed will of God. That's what God wants for His people, that we keep our relationships up to date. In our marriages, that your prayers be not hindered. Do we need revival? Do we need Jesus to come, the wind, the Spirit, and resurrect something that has died? And my burden for my testimony, I represent, I'm a little Christ. Oh, dearly beloved, I'm a little Christ. Amen? They were first called Christians. Where was it? In Antioch? Is that right, Joe? Maybe you remember. I'm not sure. They were first called Christians. Why? Because they were just like Jesus. Is my joy tank full? Because Jesus said, my joy I give unto you, that your joy may be full. Is my big burden the kingdom of God, or am I distracted? Am I standing with Ezekiel and looking at the landscape, or do you see the need? Are you burdened about it? Then I believe God is asking you a question. If you're here tonight and you're saying, yes, I am burdened about this, then God is asking you, can these bones live? Can God fix the problem? Can God heal that marriage? That's a big question when it comes right down home. You know, it's not okay to say, well, this thing is 10 years old and it's just the way it's going to be. Jesus, he has life in him. And his life is the light of men. And if he comes on the scene, things change. The question is to bring him on the scene, into the experience. Son of man, Christian, can these bones live as you look this at this valley of needs? As you look at the church's needs? As you look at the family's needs? As you look at relationships' needs, as you look at your own needs, can these bones live? Can it be different? Can there be revival? Is it gone too far? Is there no hope? Ezekiel's answer, I believe, was very critical. Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. He didn't say no, and he didn't say yes. And that was obviously okay with the Lord. Remember, Ezekiel stood in the middle of what looked like a battlefield a year ago in the desert. And there he stood, hundreds, yea, thousands of skeletons. I mean, they were dead. Very dry. Ezekiel, can these bones live? To me, no. But God, yes. Amen. God, yes. You know. You know, God, what you want to do with this staggering valley of dead bones. God, you know the needs. God, it looks big. You know what I'm burdened with tonight. Lord, you know how long I've been praying for this situation. God, you know. Can it live, God? God asks you, can it live? You know. You know. He simply said, O Lord God, thou knowest. O Lord God, thou knowest. And so the other side, if you're here and you don't really have a clue, you need revival. If you're here tonight and you don't really have a clue of how things should be and how things are, and you don't have a burden enough to make you cry sometime, or enough to keep you up, or enough to give you maybe a little bit of heartburn sometimes, if you don't have a burden for things to change, then if I don't have that burden, then I'm a part of the dry, lifeless, scattered, dismembered bones in the valley. Where is the Spirit of God among His people? It is God's will that if I am vitally connected with God, let me see how I wrote this down. If I lost that vital connection with God's, if I lost that vital connection that God's child should have and maintain, and if I don't have an up-to-date testimony of the grace of God that God's people should have, and if the joy of the Lord is not my strength that God's people should have, that He provided provisions for, and if I don't have the burden to pray to my God that God's people should have, and if I go to God's house and do not offer to God a heartfelt praise and thanksgiving to God and worship Him in the beauty of holiness that should flow from a born-again Christian, oh yes. And if I don't have a burden for the glory of God upon His church, oh dearly beloved, do you remember when the glory of God was upon His people there in the Old Testament, when Solomon was king and the Queen of Sheba came over and she viewed the things among Solomon, the very breath was taken out of her. It was so beautiful, so powerful. And that whole thing was repeated again in the book of Acts. Such a power. I mean, you could literally see the grace of God because it showed up in changed lives. That's the glory of God. And if we have no burden for that, and we're just okay to let the preacher stumble and fumble through the message to us, we need revival. Satan is after to keep that preacher from getting a fiery message that will stir your soul and get us hot for God again. I promise you, he is. Amen? He is. He don't want hot preaching because he knows hot, pointed, spirit-filled preaching changes lives, amen? He knows that. And so he does everything he can to keep people sleeping and lukewarm and distracted from prophesying to these dead bones. Spirit of the living God, come down and change these lives. And I am in need of revival. Oh God, I am among the dry bones in need of revival by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, by the prophet of God. Faith in God is critically important. We're coming down to the last point, point six. Revival in the desert. Among dead bones. Faith in God is critically important to the man or woman who stands in the valley looking the landscape o'er. Faith, brother, sister, young people, can these bones live? Can your dry bones of a faltering not victorious Christian life live? According to the Word of God, it can. Amen. According to the Word of God, it can. Jesus said, when I come, when I come, will I find faith in the earth? But maybe a better verse would be, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We won't see things happen. I mean, when Isaiah obeyed God and opened his mouth and prophesied there, oh, glory to God, things started happening. I don't know about you, but I'm burdened, and maybe you have it all together here, but I'm burdened where I'm at for revival. I'm burdened for things to change. I'm burdened to see the hand of God make an old sinner brand new. Hallelujah. You know, just take away those old habits and change him. We know that's what God wants to do. We know that. You know, there should be some noise. There was a noise when this happened. And that happens. Well, this thing was noised abroad in the book of Acts. You couldn't keep this thing in a can. You couldn't keep the lid on. It was noised abroad. There was a noise. But, you know, people say, now don't get so excited. Don't get so radical. Just keep it a little calm. There was no calming down that day. When those skeletons started coming together, bone to his bone, joint to his joint, and flesh came upon them, there was a noise. Hallelujah. There was a noise. Oh, I think what Peter, I believe it is, talked about a church somewhere. Maybe it's Paul, I don't remember. But he said, your faith is known across the whole world. Anyway, just wrapping it up here. There was a noise. There was a shaking. There was movement. Oh, when this happens, there is movement. Things happen. Relationship gets fixed. Restitution gets made. People move. They go and make things right. They travel distances. Phone calls are made, and restitution is made with people. There is movement. God is a moving God. He is alive. There was a wind. Praise God. There was a power upon them. The Spirit came upon them. There was a standing up. They stood on their feet. And praise God, there was an exceeding great army. There was an exceeding great army. Oh God, thank you for bringing us back home. Thank you, God, for your favor upon the land. Thank you, God, for bringing us out of gross darkness, deep pits. Thank you, God. But don't let us get our eyes on that. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And that was David's burden, and I believe it was God's burden. Wilt thou not revive us again? Put us back together. Stand us on our feet. Give us breath. Give us a voice that we rejoice in Jesus and nothing. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, it's a long time since you breathed out these words to Ezekiel. But we know, God, your heart has not changed one bit. Your word is yea and amen in Christ Jesus tonight. It is settled forever in heaven. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, God, and he brought life and light and breath and spirit to this old sin, dark, gloomy world. And God, he brought true revival to his people. And Lord, tonight I pray you would revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. God, let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I think what we'll do is we'll stand and maybe sing that song again, Revive Us Again, 520. I'm going to take my seat, and then when that song is over, turn the time over to the moderator. 520. Let's stand.